Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Thursday, January 30th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Pritzker Seeks Reform to Combat Corruption. Ethics Rule Changes Highlight Governor's Look at 2020 Agenda by John O'Connor. Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker delivered his first State of the State address Wednesday, talking tough about ending fraud and graft in a state notorious for corruption, and urging support for such contentious ideas as halting the time-honored practice of lawmakers leaving the legislature to immediately become lobbyists. Speaking a day after former Democratic Senator Martin Sandoval pleaded guilty to accepting $250,000 in bribes to protect local cities' red light camera enforcement programs, and following federal criminal charges against two other Democratic lawmakers, the Democratic governor called lawmakers to urgent action to restore the public's trust in our government. In addition to a prohibition of the so-called revolving door of lawmakers-turned-lobbyists, Pritzker suggested halting the practice of legislators working as lobbyists to other government bodies and beefing up disclosure of officeholders' conflicts of interest. We must root out the purveyors of greed and corruption in both parties, whose presence infects the bloodstream of government, Pritzker said. It's no longer enough to sit idle while under-the-table deals, extortion, or bribery persist. The details, however, he left to the Ethics Commission the General Assembly created in November. It's due to report its recommendations by March 31st. In his first year in office, Pritzker accomplished virtually all his campaign goals with a balanced budget, a multi-billion dollar statewide construction program, legalized marijuana use, a $15 minimum wage, and legislative permission to ask voters in November whether to switch to an income tax structure that hits the wealthier harder. Despite a tough campaign to win voter approval for the tax switch, Pritzker gave only passing notice to what he calls the fair tax. He also said too little, at least for Republicans' comfort, about the state's crushing property tax system. Instead, he promoted Illinois and basked in the afterglow of his successful inaugural year, generously sharing credit with Republicans. He said bipartisan seven times in the 34-minute speech. It was more about the work and the hope and the optimism than about the details, explained House Majority Leader Greg Harris, a Chicago Democrat who will be listening next month when Pritzker delivers his budget plan. House Minority Leader Jim Durkin shared his GOP colleagues' chagrin at the attention the government gave to property taxes and economic growth. But the Western Springs Republican was pleased with Pritzker's remarks on ethics, particularly, he said, given the details of the Sandoval plea agreement and the filing in federal court this month of a document which suggests a forthcoming guilty plea by former Chicago Democratic Representative Luis Arroyo on a bribery charge. We have lost the confidence of Illinois citizens. We do it year in, year out because of bad behavior, Durkin said. We constantly have to ask ourselves whether or not we're doing enough to police ourselves. Clearly not enough. Pritzker also emphasized pension reform and reforming the criminal justice system by phasing out cash bail, among other legislative action. He urged clean energy reforms, but said, "The old ways of negotiating energy legislation are over. It's time to put consumers and climate first. I'm not going to sign an energy bill written by the utility companies." Pritzker said it's time to empower local governments to consolidate some of the 7,000 government units in the state, and he emphasized job creation, education, and job training programs, child care and preschool, and a focus on building essential tools of success, such as high-speed internet in all corners of our state. He pointed to criminal justice reforms that mean people will no longer have their driver's licenses suspended or revoked for unpaid parking tickets or fines. But he said more needs to be done in the coming year, especially in promoting racial diversity and social equity. Bit by bit, inch by inch, I am working hard to reverse the harm that has been done to people and communities that have been left behind over many generations by government policies and elected officials who were content to simply ignore them, Pritzker said. House Republican leader Jim Durkin of Western Springs said in a separate news conference that there is broad bipartisan support for ethics reform. But he argued that the roadblock to passing such reforms is House Speaker Michael Madigan. I would just say it's up to him, Durkin said. He's the one who has the agenda. He's the one who calls the bills on whether or not they're going to be placed in a committee or for a vote. So he needs to know that we're willing to move forward. Next story is a local response to the previous. It's entitled, Lawmakers, Fix District Map Process. Brady's Barrickman see change as vital to real ethics reform. By Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. State lawmakers from Bloomington Normal embraced Governor J.B. Pritzker's call for ethics reform in his State of the State address Wednesday. But they said it won't be effective without changing the way legislative maps are drawn. State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington, Senate Republican leader, said political corruption comes from power and the ability to draw a map that serves their needs and not the public needs. He said Pritzker needs to join Republicans in pushing for a fair map amendment to the Illinois Constitution. If he's really going to be a reformer, he has to push on this issue, said Brady. State Senator Jason Barrickman, Republican of Bloomington, agreed that the legislative redistricting process is a key element to get to the root of corruption. Our mapping process is driven by politics and the interests of political leaders, and the party and majority is always at the front of the process, and the interests of the public are in the back. And that's totally backwards, said Barrickman. The Fair Map Amendment would set up an independent redistricting commission. The Senate version of the proposed constitutional amendment has 36 bipartisan co-sponsors, including Brady, Barrickman, and Chapin Rose, Republican of Mahomet. A House version has 25 bipartisan co-sponsors, including Dan Brady, Republican of Bloomington, and Keith Summer, Republican of Morton. It's an uphill battle only because of the political leaders, said Barrickman. Ultimately, it will take the governor to get this one done. Bill Brady, Dan Brady, and Barrickman agreed with the governor's assessment that the state of Illinois is getting stronger. We have some things that have moved us in a positive direction, said Bill Brady. Among the positives they cited was passage of a bipartisan infrastructure bill that not only created jobs, but also brought capital improvements to communities and universities. But Bill Brady said the biggest thing preventing people from investing in Illinois is concern over what could happen if voters approve a constitutional amendment in November to enact a graduated income tax in Illinois. He said that would give the state the power to tax everything and anything. He agreed with the governor's call for property tax reform and said the state needs to pay a greater share of funding for education to reduce the property tax burden. But he said there's not going to be any magical money. He has to put basic business reforms in place, such as tort reform, to grow the economy. Dan Brady agreed that action is needed to lure and stabilize business in Illinois. Although the speech was short on specifics on matters such as pension reform, he said, this is state of the state, not the budget address. The next story is entitled, Lee to Buy Media Group Pantograph parent to pay $140 million for Buffett Publications. The Pantograph. Davenport, Iowa. Lee Enterprises, the parent company of the Pantograph, will buy Berkshire Hathaway's news publications for $140 million, the companies said Wednesday. The deal covers 31 daily newspapers in 10 states, as well as 49 paid weekly publications with digital sites and 32 other print products. News organizations included in the sale are the Omaha World Herald in Nebraska, the Buffalo News in New York, the Tulsa World in Oklahoma, and the Winston-Salem Journal in North Carolina. As part of the agreement, Lee will enter into a 10-year lease for BH Media Group's real estate. Lee Enterprises has been managing BH Media Publications since July 2018. Warren Buffett, Berkshire's chairman and CEO, said he and his partner, Charlie Munger, have long admired Lee. "We had zero interest in selling the group to anyone else for one simple reason. We believe that Lee is best positioned to manage through the industry's challenges," Buffett said. Berkshire Hathaway is providing about $576 million in long-term 9% financing to Lee, which Lee will use to pay for the Berkshire properties and refinance Lee's approximately $400 million in existing debt. Berkshire will be Lee's sole lender after the deal closes. "This is a compelling and transformative transaction for Lee," said Mary Junk, Lee's chairman. "It both refinances our long-term debt on attractive terms and provides new revenue opportunities, as well as operational synergies across an expanded portfolio." Lee's portfolio will grow to 81 daily papers and nearly double its audience size, the company said. The deal is expected to close in mid-March. The next article is headlined, "New Flaws Seen in Illinois Voter Program," by Sophia Tureen, Associated Press. Chicago. Illinois election officials disclosed fresh problems Wednesday with the state's automatic voter registration program, including at least one eligible voter who said she registered to vote but ended up on an opt-out list. The program is already under fire for mistakenly registering over 500 people who indicated they weren't U.S. citizens, of which 15 people voted in 2018 and 2019 elections. Officials in the Illinois Secretary of State's office said at least 8 of the people have long voting histories and were likely U.S. citizens, leaving 7 voters in question. The individuals involved were applying for standard driver's licenses at Secretary of State's offices. Details were scarce on the new issues disclosed at a State Board of Elections meeting. Brenda Glahn, an attorney with the Secretary of State, said it appeared several registrations of eligible voters who declined to be registered were wrongly sent to election officials. At least one voter was registered. "The problems stem from those applying for a real ID, which requires proof of citizenship." Kyle Thomas with the State Board of Elections said the information of 297 people who appeared to have opted of automatic voter registration was still sent to election officials and 286 were registered. The problem was discovered in August of last year. Election officials said they addressed the issue in October and they no longer received the data of people who opt out. One voter told election officials she had wanted to be registered and had a Secretary of State receipt saying she had done so, but she wasn't in the system when she checked with her county clerk. The issue, disclosed at the board meeting, prompted further questions that Secretary of State officials said they were investigating. "Do the people really want to opt out or do they want to register to vote?" Glahn said. "We are researching what is causing that issue." Automatic voter registration was signed into law in Illinois in 2017 with bipartisan support. But implementation has lagged behind schedule for the complex program that involves different processes depending on the type of identification a person applies for. Republicans have called to suspend the program, but Democrats who run the state have no plans to do so. Government watchdog and immigrant rights groups have also expressed concerns about voter integrity and unintended consequences for immigrants. It is illegal for non-citizens to vote in U.S. elections. Six good government groups sent a legal letter to Secretary of State Jesse White this week, demanding answers about the changes. Our coalition's attempts to engage the Secretary of State's office in a process of accountability and transparency have been stonewalled time and again, Jay Young, Executive Director for Common Cause Illinois, said in a statement. They've given us no way to verify the few claims they've made about fixing AVR. Here's a story headlined, Trace Adkins to Headline Gala. Country music icon to speak, perform at Evening of Stars, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. A country music icon will headline the 27th annual American Red Cross Evening of Stars Gala this spring in Normal. Trace Adkins, a country music singer, songwriter, and actor, was announced Wednesday by the American Red Cross serving Central Illinois as the annual event's featured speaker at 7 p.m. April 29th at the Bloomington Normal Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 201 Broadway Avenue, Normal. Adkins' appearance will include a talk and live performance. We are excited to have a country music legend join us this year, Evening of Stars Chair Wendy Wilbur said in a statement. Wilbur is owner of Travel by Wendy, and a board member of the Red Cross serving Central Illinois. Trace Adkins has an interesting and colorful story, and guests will enjoy his music and his big personality, Wilbur said. Trace Adkins has been a big supporter of the American Red Cross, and we are thrilled to have him as our guest for Evening of Stars, said Lynn Hruska, CEO for the American Red Cross Central and Southern Illinois region. It's exciting to add him to the spectacular list of stars who have been part of Evening of Stars over the past 26 years, Ruska said. The funds raised from Evening of Stars are critical to our mission delivery, and we look forward to a fun night with Trace Adkins. Tickets are $200, or guests may choose the red carpet experience for $750, which includes two tickets to the VIP reception with a chance to meet Adkins, two Evening of Stars tickets with preferred seating for the dinner and performance, and your name in the program. Tickets are available at redcross.org/EOSTickets or by calling 309-253-8572. Evening of Stars, the largest fundraiser of the year for the Red Cross in Bloomington Normal area, helps Red Cross disaster response, preparedness training, support for military families, and collection of blood and blood products. Adkins' musical career has included the hits This Ain't No Thinkin' Thing, Ladies Love Country Boys, and You're Gonna Miss This. Adkins, 58, is a member of the Grand Ole Opry and has sold more than 11 million albums. He has received 3 Grammy nominations and several Country Music Television and Academy of Country Music Awards. His film and television credits include appearances in The Lincoln Lawyer, Mom's Night Out, and I Can Only Imagine, and he voiced Elvin, a recurring character on King of the Hill. He won NBC's The All-Star Celebrity Apprentice in 2013, raising $1.5 million for the Red Cross. Last year's Evening of Stars speaker was Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy. About 1,000 people attended that event, raising $342,000 for Red Cross programs and services in central Illinois. And a sidebar tells us, if you go, what? American Red Cross Evening of Stars. Where? Bloomington Normal Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 201 Broadway Avenue, Normal. When? 7 p.m. April 29th. More information at redcross.org/EOSTickets or 309-253-8572. The next item is entitled, Sangamon Coroner, Ex-Mayor, Killed in Plane Crash, by Kennedy Nolan. Springfield. Officials on Wednesday confirmed that Sangamon County Coroner Cinda Edwards and former Springfield Mayor Frank Edwards were among three adults killed in a plane crash around 3 p.m. Tuesday near White Timber Road. Killed were Cinda Edwards, 63, her husband Frank Edwards, 69, and John Evans, 69. A dog also was killed. The Sangamon County Sheriff's Department said a pilot reported having trouble with the plane's instruments and with weather conditions before the crash. Springfield Airport Authority Executive Director Mark Hanna says the plane was attempting to land at Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport in Springfield and missed two houses before impact. The plane was headed to Springfield from Huntsville, Alabama. It originally took off from Sarasota-Bradenton International Airport in Florida, authorities said. The bodies were taken to the McLean County Coroner's Office in Bloomington, where they were identified by a forensic pathologist. Here's a story from the Money section, headlined, High Anticipation. Tips for buying popular vehicles in a seller's market, by Ronald Montoya. Nearly every time a hotly anticipated new or redesigned vehicle first hits dealers' lots, a number of enterprising dealerships will take the opportunity to make some additional profit. The good news for consumers is that there are ways around these markups. Recent examples include the Dodge Demon and the Ford F-150 Raptor. At the peak of their popularity, these vehicles had market adjustments on their window stickers ranging from $10,000 to upward of $30,000 over the manufacturer's suggested retail price. It's likely that the same thing will happen when the new Chevrolet Corvette, when it arrives at dealerships soon. This issue doesn't just affect flashy performance vehicles. In recent months, in-demand vehicles such as the Kia Telluride and the Toyota RAV4 Hybrid have been selling for a few thousand above MSRP. It's a textbook case of supply and demand, in which there are more customers than cars. While frustrating and costly, this price adjustment is within a dealership's right. After all, the S in MSRP stands for suggested. Edmunds offers ways for consumers to deal with dealership markups on high-demand vehicles. 1. Get in early. Once you've caught wind of a new or redesigned vehicle you suspect will be in high demand, get in touch with the dealership to place an order. This strategy not only secures you a vehicle, but also reduces the chances of a markup. You may have to put down a deposit, which is normal, but just make sure you get the selling price in writing and know the refund policy in case you change your mind. When the vehicle arrives, the dealership should charge you the MSRP. 2. Know the pricing variability. If you didn't place an order or weren't aware that you could, now is the time to determine the market value of the vehicle you're interested in. Find comparable vehicles at a few dealerships and get price quotes to see what they're selling for. This research will give you an idea of whether a markup is in the ballpark or way off base. 3. Pay MSRP at a dealer without markups. Not all dealerships will subscribe to this market adjustment philosophy. Your goal is to find those dealers. You might have to cast your net wider to a dealership out of town or in the next county. That said, this tactic won't automatically translate to a discount. Since the vehicle is in high demand, paying sticker price would be considered a fair deal, and anything below that would be a bonus. 4. Negotiate the markup. Here's a secret about some, but not all, of the more outrageous markups. Dealers set the markups high with the expectation that customers will negotiate it down to a more reasonable level. If you want that car now, this technique can still reap a significant improvement on the asking price. Let the salesperson know you're a serious buyer and be ready to act if the dealership is willing to come down on price. 5. Wait for things to cool down. How badly do you want that car? If you can wait a few months or even a year, prices will eventually fall and you won't have to deal with any of these issues. In the meantime, we recommend periodically checking on prices to see if they've dropped. 6. A common markup variation. You might run into a vehicle that doesn't explicitly have a dealer markup, but has instead been loaded with accessories and priced well above the initial starting point. On the one hand, you'd actually get something for your money, but you would still spend roughly the same amount as a markup. Unless you want those accessories, the same advice applies. Shop around for a vehicle without the add-ons, since you'll have a harder time persuading a dealership to remove them. And here's an item from today's area calendar. Registration for the Un-Valentine's Day party, which will be at 5:30 to 8 p.m. February 13th at the Normal Public Library. Registration required at normalpl.org today. Also on today's calendar, a book signing at 6:30 p.m. today at the First United Methodist Church, Normal. Raising the Challenging Child. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for January 30th. Please stay tuned.